Hey!
This is JJ and Alex. I made a name for myself, I told you I won't be denied. As you wrap up your day, it's time to get your fix of the teams you live for and the sports you love. This is JJ and Alex, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome on in. It's a Wednesday. It's a hump day on JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, halfway almost through your week. Thanks for joining us.
Hump day.
Jeremiah Jensen, Stevenson Sylvester in for Alex Kincarry, who continues to be on the, the injured list? Or
he's on IR for
the best
IR
way I would describe it is when...
everybody! Yeah.
Alex Kincarry is out today with load management. How about that?
Oh, there we go. Yeah, I like that better. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Load management in radio. That's great.
He's on paternity leave. He'll be back next week. But we continue to power through another week. It's been a wild week, and it's just going to get crazier. NHL to Utah Hawk heating up. We've got an update on that coming up later in the show today. We've got David Locke, who'll be here in the 5 o'clock hour. We always have the NFL Blitz. We look forward to that. A NBA player banned for life. We will talk about that. That is nuts. Some update on Kevin Young taking the BYU job. So BYU's new head men's basketball coach. You'll hear from his peers at the Suns on how much they're going to miss him and give you some insight on why he's going to be a good choice for BYU moving forward. And, of course, a lot of Utah Jazz talk today as well. We finally get a chance to hear from some of the players. After the offseason, we'll hear from Walker Kessler, Lowry Markkanen, and head coach Will Hardy, as well as Keyonte George. So we're going to dig into this, but we're going to start with what had my attention last night and which seems to deliver. It's the play-in games. But first, JJ and Alex is brought to you by G2G Bars. With all natural ingredients, no preservatives, and plenty of protein, G2G Bars are perfect for anyone who needs a tasty and nutritious boost. The NBA play-in, that's the cut at 3 o'clock.
It's time for the biggest story of the day. This is What Made the Cut with JJ and Alex on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Yeah, we've just been playing good ball, and everybody's been contributing. Hasn't been many games where me and AD shot the ball. I think we were 12 for 36 from the field, but the rest of the guys picked us up. So myself and AD was just trying to do everything else that we could.
The NBA play-in, year 4 of the play-in. And Sly, it's been such a genius move for the NBA. Last night was great NBA basketball. You know, you get through the regular season and load management that I referenced earlier, and all the things about the NBA regular season that we don't like, everything that we love about the NBA comes to life in this play-in situation. And seasons were on the line last night. Let's start with the Pelicans and the Lakers. That was great.
Oh, yeah. I watched that.
You were very invested.
Yes.
As a Lakers fan. Full disclosure here. Don't send any hate mail to Sly, especially if you're a Utah fan. You know he's your guy.
Yes.
This is the Lakers suck yesterday. They suck again today.
I love Chuck.
Thank you, Chuck.
Chuck is so funny.
Chuck is wise.
He says the most random things.
Nothing random about that. Just the truth. Just the cold, hard truth.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, we're not the Utah Jazz, but we are continually.
You say that so condescendingly.
In your ear. Every moment of the day.
Well, we're not the Utah Jazz. We're just the, 18-time NBA champion Los Angeles Lakers?
Nonchalant.
Screw you, Sly. Let's talk about this game last night. Lakers, I mean, LeBron was great.
Yes.
AD was great. And I just feel the Lakers were the better team last night. The best player on the floor was Zion Williamson.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I mean, we are waiting for Zion to do something to prove that he's one of the best players in the game. And he had a stage last night and an opportunity last night. Played 70 games this year, so he's finally been healthy. He's definitely getting in better shape. We know what he's capable of when he's at his best. We just don't see it all the time.
Right.
Last night we saw it all the time.
Of what he's capable of, yeah.
Except for the last 3 minutes. I'll get to that. But 40-10 last night in a play-in game.
Virtually unstoppable.
Zion Williamson, 40 points, 10 rebounds. I believe he had 5 assists as well. Digging into the box score here. So, really, really impressive performance. The best performance of his NBA career in a moment when his team really needed it. That was awesome. So, I'll start with that. Just how great can Zion be? Because we saw last night what he's capable of. And you want to see it on a more consistent basis. Do we expect 40-10 every night, Sly? No, but how about averaging 20-10, you know, like consistently? He's very capable of that.
No question. I mean, simply because of his efficiency, right? Where is he doing these 40 points? Is it at the free throw line? Is it around a three-point line? Is it the mid-range? No. This is the reason why his field goal percentage is so, you know, career-wise high. He's getting to the paint.
Yeah.
And there's just these big guys like Anthony Davis, Jackson Hayes on the Lakers, but even other teams that he's just so much stronger. I remember there was a loose ball last night, and the way he just ripped the ball away from Anthony Davis, I'm just like, yo.
Yeah.
This is a man, baby.
Yeah.
This guy.
He's not a baby no more.
No. I mean, he looks young in the face, but that dude is strong. He looks ripped. He's good. But, you know, his body type, man, he's got to understand that he doesn't have the same body type as everybody else. So he needs to have a different offseason regimen to be able to do that. And I think this was a perfect game, right? He had his best game of his NBA career in the moment where they needed it, right? And so I think that, you know, experience is the best teacher.
Yes.
Right?
No doubt.
The fact that he had this game, he now understands, I have the capability to do that. Against a good defensive team in L.A., I can do this against any opponent, right? You know, whether it's LeBron James or anybody else that lines up against me, I can get to the cup effectively, efficiency. He has the most explosive first step I've seen in a very, very long time. And he can do it with the best of them. And so Zion Williamson proved last night to not only everybody else but to himself that I can do this. I can get 30 points easy. I can be that 30-point guy. You know, I just got to attack the season and get this started at the beginning of the season instead of it late in the season. And so we're not playing in the play-in tournament. We actually have, you know, a booked, seeded place in the playoffs. And, you know, we don't have to rely on one game to determine our destiny.
Zion had this play, I believe it was right at the end of the first half, if you'll remember this.
Oh, yeah.
He gets the rebound, and he just races from bucket to bucket.
It was an inbound.
It was an inbound, okay. So he gets an inbound, and he just runs from one end of the court to the other, goes through LeBron, goes through Anthony Davis, and finishes at the rim, and they get 2 points, and they go into the locker room for halftime.
I didn't think he could get there that fast.
There's very few people on the planet that can do that at the NBA level, just run through the best athletes in the world.
Well, that's the thing.
Without any resistance. He sliced through them like butter.
Yeah.
LeBron and AD.
Well, the thing is, there was so much time. There was only like 3 seconds left when they inbounded the ball. And he got all the way from the bottom of the key on the opposite side all the way to the other to make a left-handed layup. In like 3 seconds. It was crazy. And what LeBron does, you just jump at him, right? So you can divert his path. So it takes up more time. That's the whole goal with doing that. But this is how fast he is. He got right by LeBron with the first step that was just incredible and got all the way into the paint to where the shot blockers couldn't even do anything. It was one of those things where you're like, dang, that is very, very impressive.
Charles Barkley got after him, though, because, as you remember, it was late in the game. It didn't look like it was anything major, but he made a bucket, and then he comes off limping a little bit or grimacing a little bit, and then he runs to the locker room, checks out of the game. He never comes back. He's not going to play in their do-or-die play-in game against the Kings on Friday. That's the biggest moment of your season.
Yeah.
And I don't like to criticize or go there with injuries. Charles did. Other people have. You're a professional athlete. What do you think he should he have powered through and continue to play in that situation with so much on the line? They were right there. They had that game to take, and as soon as he left, they were done.
Yeah.
The game was over.
Yeah, you could definitely see his effectiveness on that team, and he makes all the difference in the world. They weren't even playing Brandon Ingram.
Because he's not very good right now.
he was on the bench. I mean, he was coming back from injury, but still, in the waning moments of the game, you got that lanky frame that can score, and you just don't even have him on, because they were doing better without him, as you said.
Yeah.
But, like, Brandon Ingram, I think he's going to have to be the guy against the Kings to make a difference. If they're going to have a chance, he has to have a 30-40 type game. And but, I mean, it's just extremely difficult to say for Zion Williamson how he should do with the injury. You know, I don't know how severe it was. We're not all Kobe. You know, I know Kobe is a different breed.
Zion has a history here.
He has a history.
He nurses injuries.
He
and
has
perhaps
to
that's
be perfect.
The Pelicans that are doing that. That's why I'm careful with this. I don't know if it's Zion or if it's the Pelicans are just super scared about him, but it's just hard for our brains to process that somebody that athletic and strong and incredible mm-hmm. could be that fragile.
Well, I mean, $200 million investment, you know, with his extension, you want to take the precautions. You know,
fair
this
enough.
Playoff isn't everything, and you want him to be the most confident
kind
he can be.
Kind of is, though. kind of is.
I mean, you got 3 or 4 months. He's not playing
right.
on a USA basketball team. He's got time before the next season starts. So, I mean, you had the opportunity to lock in the seventh seed.
And I think that was their opportunity. I just don't
–
I know they're
Zion
home again
too,
Friday.
Because Zion, as soon as Zion felt it, he was just like,
he knew
come get me.
That something was wrong. Just dang, I think you understand.
I don't know the severity of the injury.
No, I don't either. That's why
say.
I'm being careful around this. I'm not being as opinionated, and maybe I should be. Maybe that's what you want to hear right now. I'm trying to be fair to him, but I do think it's a legitimate question to ask. Could he have powered through that when his team needed him most? And that's one of the reasons why we struggle with Zion.
Yes.
And why we look at Zion maybe not as good as he should be, because this happens
everything
all the time
needs to
with
be
him.
Perfect in order for him to play.
Exactly, and it finally felt like this was the season where he's playing 70
and
games.
And when is sports perfect?
Never.
It's never perfect.
Right.
But in order for Zion to play, it has to be that way.
That's
and
a problem.
And so that is the dilemma.
Yeah. So without Zion, 40 points, 11 rebounds. Nobody else on the team scored more than 12. Now, five other guys scored in double figures, but it was 12, 10, 10, 11. They don't have a chance on Friday without Zion Williamson.
Right.
I'm sorry. But the Lakers were the better team. I don't come away thinking, and it's funny, every year, and you know this, Sly, you follow, they're your team. During the LeBron era, it's just cruise control to the playoffs, right? Where last year they were a 7th seed, they make the Western Conference Finals. This year, I don't think that's going to happen. We won't get into their matchup next.
All right, we can break that down, baby. You know, this overzealous Lakers fan over here.
Beating the Nuggets in a
seven-game
series.
If they do, what are
we
doing?
We saw that win last year. Why would it be different this year?
What?
What's the difference?
Timing.
Ah.
Timing. That roster now has been together for more than a year, more than a half a year. They got together right before the All-Star break last year, and they played extremely well towards the end of the season. Now they've had a full season. Like, they weathered the storm last night.
Yes, they did. That game was going the wrong direction on the Lakers.
And they
weathered
and they came back, and it was because of defense.
And really nice shot by D'Angelo Russell.
He was on fire.
That was huge.
He was great. But I think timing is great. They are rolling on all cylinders right now. Anthony Davis came away with a play-in game without an injury. You know, he didn't play his best game last night. But he said, like LeBron said, coming into this, AD and him didn't play best, but everybody else carried him. Right? You don't know who's going to be that guy. Jackson Hayes is playing great coming off the bench. Look at me. I'm over here acting like I know basketball. Jackson Hayes is coming great off the bench. Roy Hachimura is just your great, you know, four man where you can just swing to him. He can get points on his own if he wants. You know, D'Angelo Russell is coming into his own where his quick release is just so dangerous because you have to help on LeBron's penetration. And he kicks to the corner. You get every other game where Taurean Prince is actually playing well. And then once Jared Vanderbilt, and last night I think what was great defensive-wise was Gabe Vincent. You haven't seen him all season. He played great defense last night to give them back into the game.
And we saw what he did for the Heat in their run
exactly.
last year. So.
Exactly. So I think this is timing. Don't count the Lakers out in this series. Watch this first game on Saturday night. I'm juiced, man. You forgot. I used to play basketball.
People thought
I was, like, when I got my football scholarship, people were just like, when did you start playing football? Basketball was my thing growing up. So I'm especially been the Lakers fan ever since I was a kid too. So
I'm sorry.
We're there. Oh, are we now?
Let's go to the other side of the series. Lakers are in the playoffs, 7 seed. They'll take on the Nuggets. I like I said, I think the Nuggets are the favorite. They're the defending champ, but yeah. It is going to be interesting, and all eyes are going to be on that series in the first round because of the star power and
storylines. What we were saying about the WNBA.
Why do we tune in to watch sports for the drama?
Can
the
39-year-old do anything?
Can LeBron carry this Lakers team to one more title?
Yeah.
Can AD do this? What about the Nuggets? Are they, you know?
Can they repeat?
Can they repeat as champs? All kinds of storylines in that series. It's going to be fun. Here's another storyline for you. Is the Golden State Warriors dynasty officially over?
Oh, yeah. Guaranteed.
Rest in peace.
Guaranteed.
It is done. It was cremated last night, in my opinion.
Klay Thompson just put that.
It was just so
he
over.
He put that tombstone right in the middle of the Sacramento Kings fort.
You know what? It happens to every dynasty, and it doesn't change anything of what they've done. Because every fan base is jealous of what the Warriors have had over the last decade. But it is over. I'm sorry. It is over. The Kings blast the Warriors last night in the play-in game in Sacramento. They light the beam. They win big, and the Kings are moving on to face the Pelicans in one more play-in game on Friday, and that winner will get the 8 seed. And like I said, I think it's going to be the Kings. And I think the Kings should be in the playoffs. I think they're better than the Pelicans and obviously the Warriors. But let's talk about the Warriors for a minute because they've just had an incredible run. You look at what they accomplished, but that run is clearly over. While one of the advantages the Warriors had during their dynasty was affordable contracts on their star players, Steph Curry was playing on a discount for years. The timing worked out for the Warriors there. It allowed them to get Kevin Durant in, and they were able to build one of the great dynasties in NBA history. Well, those players are aging on that roster. Their big three, Draymond, Klay Thompson and Steph are aging, and they're expensive. I still think Steph's one of the top 10 players in the league, but
guaranteed.
Draymond and Klay, and Klay has had two very serious injuries. I understand. The fact that Klay's still in the NBA is a miracle. I have so much respect for him to be able to battle back from those injuries and still have the games he's able to have. You know, we watched him put 25 on the Jazz last week. I mean, Klay still is great, but not able to be that consistent player, especially in the playoffs. Or in this situation, Draymond's just not good anymore. He's just not. And they've missed the playoffs 3 of the last 5 years. And yes, they won a title in one of those 5 years. But 3 of the last 5 years, they've missed the playoffs. I think they're done as a contender. And I think that the Warriors now have to seriously consider tearing it down. Unless they just want to ride it out with these guys and have some mediocre seasons at best.
But they're not even storylines anymore.
They're not interesting at all, are they?
They're not.
I was watching that game last time. I was like,
Kings
are just
they're
absolutely
just waiting
crushing
on Steph to do something. And there's just like, you got 4 guys running at Steph and nobody else can do anything. It's bad formula.
Yeah,
They got nothing. And in this talented Western Conference, and you're just worried about one guy. Yeah, Steph can shoot from the other side of the half court, but I mean, when Steph doesn't have it going on, what do you got?
One of the things that made that dynasty great for the Warriors, it wasn't necessarily the crazy three-point shooting and the Splash Brothers and all that. It was their defense.
Yeah.
They locked teams down because they had the ability to switch 1 through 5. They no longer have that ability.
When Klay is
age, like Father Time, has done its job on that team.
Trash-talking is talking about the past. That's all he's doing. These last couple years, all you see him when he's going against the Clippers, when he's going against the Suns and Devin Booker, and you just seen it at the end of the season. He's talking to CJ McCollum for the Pelicans. Oh, I've been kicking your butt for the last 10 years, 4 rings, this. When that is your trash talk, it's done with.
Yeah.
If you can't talk about the present, that is not good trash talk, and everybody knows it.
We talk about teams, you know, that could start dismantling or start breaking up this offseason, and then the Warriors are right up there with the Bucks with me as a team to look out for, because they've got to decide to do something. It feels like if they want to progress as an organization, they're going to have to make some really tough decisions and really go young, and that's not going to include their all-time greats. Unless they want to do the Kobe route and just ride out Steph forever, And I totally get them wanting to do that too, but it's not going to produce playoff runs. It's just not. So they got to make a decision, but I was really impressed
with
the Sacramento Kings.
You're saying
get rid
of Steph too?
They have to think about it.
I'd build around Steph. Steph looks, the last couple of years, Steph looks great to me.
Steph Curry building around Steph?
I would. I mean, for basketball right now, literally with these contracts being not as long as they used to be, you are going on 4-year stints.
He'll turn 37 in March next season.
And he looks great right now. I understand
that
age.
Does Steph want to do that? Does Steph want to be part of a rebuild?
I mean, I don't know. Would you call it a rebuild if you're able to bring in assets?
Who are you bringing in? Hey, they don't have any money.
You can trade away some of these guys, some of these younger guys.
Who wants Clay? Who wants Draymond? That's the trick.
I mean,
that's the challenge.
What about
they got cap problems.
You can trade Kuminga.
That's the guy you want to keep. You want to build. He's their best young player.
I don't know.
I'm not letting him go.
I don't know.
I'm trying to find takers for the other guys, but that's a problem.
Kuminga's not a guy that'll lead you through the playoffs.
Oh, of course not. Of course not. That's what I'm saying is they're going to have to rebuild. They're going to have to completely tear it down, just like what the Jazz are doing right now, and build it back up again. And moving all these high-priced contracts is the only way to do that, just like the Jazz did with Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell.
Right. And it's going to be some years of suffering.
But there's some sentimental factor with those players, and I don't think the Warriors have the guts to do it. I think they're going to let this ride out.
You do.
I do.
I think it's done.
Well, I think they are done as a contender. I think they're going to let these guys' contracts ride out because they don't have the heart to pull the plug on this.
Well, Clay's done. Draymond's done because he's more of a headache than anything.
That's the problem. Who wants Draymond at this point?
Nobody does. Because Draymond's style only works with Steph. It doesn't work with anybody else.
We have no idea because those guys have been together forever.
Right. And that's why they were able to build for so many years because they were homegrown.
Yeah, the Warriors doesn't look good. I'm not going to feel bad for Warriors fans or the Warriors organization. They've had it unbelievably great for the last 10 years, so all of us are going to enjoy watching this crumble. But the Kings, man, they were really impressive last night. Keegan Murray, 32 points, 9 rebounds, 8 of 13 from 3.
Yeah, he looked great.
De'Aaron Fox, 24 points, 6 assists, 2 steals. Harrison Barnes, 17 points, 3 of 4 from 3. Domantas Sabonis, 16 points, 12 rebounds. 7 assists. I mean, he's nearing a triple-double. That Kings team, it just blows my mind that they were a 9 seed because they should be. They were a 3 last year. They're a really good basketball team, really good, nice core. Their bench is a little like, eh. If you're leaning on Trey Lyles to play 20 minutes, then you're like, eh. Davion Mitchell, nobody else on their bench plays more than 5 minutes. So they're thin on the bench, but their starting 5 is really, really good, and it wouldn't surprise me. If they win on Friday, they're playing the Thunder in the first round. That is a really, really fascinating first round matchup. And
it's good young guys going at each other.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. And the Kings have more playoff experience than the Thunder do.
Right.
That could be a factor.
Right.
I'm not predicting a Kings win in that series because away from Sacramento, the Kings are a different team. But that's a really fascinating potential matchup there because I do believe the Kings end up getting the Pelicans on Friday. All right, we got to take a short break. But let me just finish by saying, the play-in tournament was genius. The NBA has absolutely found something here, and it's awesome, and it delivered last night. We'll see if it delivers tonight as the Eastern Conference play-in games take place tonight. All right, up next on JJ and Alex, the transfer portal is open again, and the Utah State Aggies take a massive hit in their quarterback room. Plus, what are BYU's needs in the portal? Utah, what do they need? Sly's got some opinions there. We'll hit that next on JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Yo, Kalai.
Love it.
Wow. This is what you get. You're listening to JJ and Alex, presented by G2G Bars.
Don't touch that dial.
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, golfers. Don't miss the Uinta Multi-Vendor Demo Day happening this Saturday at Mulligan's Golf and Games. This is your chance to try out the new releases from all the major golf manufacturers and register to win free prizes. It's happening this Saturday at Mulligan's Golf and Games. Uinta Golf, unmatched service, unmatched expertise. JJ and Alex, Jeremiah Jensen, Stevenson Sylvester in for Alex Carey. And as the transfer portal turns in college football, And how's it turned again here in Utah? We have players in the portal from all the teams in the state. BYU and Utah didn't have any like earth-shattering wow transfer portal entrance, but boy did Utah State. Two major players at Utah State are in the portal. They are both quarterbacks. The first one, and this came down, we had this on Sunday night on KSL Sports Live, that sophomore quarterback McKay Hillstead has entered the transfer portal. 3 years to play in 4 years. I mean, that's he's a nice get for somebody. Where he's going to land, I don't know. But the former Sky Ridge High star that you know Sly and I covered extensively and watched him play a lot of games and watched him run all over the place and throw all over the place, one of the best quarterbacks the state's produced in the last decade, he is on the move. We don't know where yet, but he is in the portal. And then today, news breaks that last year's starting quarterback, Cooper Legaw, has entered the transfer portal. So he's leaving Utah State. So two players in that quarterback room are gone. And the quarterbacks there that remain are Iowa transfer Spencer Petras, who we are hearing is the favorite to be the starter, and former Utah quarterback, the Prince of Pigs, Bryson Barnes, is still in that quarterback room. So interesting news, Sly, there. I'd love to hear what you think about that, and then we can get into what BYU and Utah made into the portal. But two quarterbacks out of the into the portal after spring. That's pretty rough for the Aggies.
Well, I think Petras made an impression.
Clearly.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, Cooper Legaw that to the point where he's like, this is my senior year. So you're going into the portal with 1 year.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, this is my senior year. I'm coming in here. All right. Yeah, we got some QB competition. But, you know, I should still have it. I've been in the system. I know the coaching staff, this and that, to the point where he's just, I got a job at the portal. There's no chance for me here.
Yeah.
And that's crazy. And then same thing, McKay Kay did that, right? And he's was a freshman last year, you know, did well in spells, got injured. But, you know, he's had an opportunity to grow in this. He's got Bryson Barnes and Petras there. Those guys aren't going to be there long. But something where you don't want to, like, because he could literally redshirt this year if you wanted.
I believe, and, you know, we talked to Scotty about this, the voice of the Aggies.
Mm-hmm.
We thought the plan all along was to have McKay redshirt this year.
Why not? Learn from Petras, learn from Bryson.
Let Petras and Cooper Legaw battle it out for that starting job among the seniors. And then whoever wins that, whoever, and then they move on. Then McKay Hillstead's your guy moving forward. You give him a chance to sit back and really develop, get stronger, become more physical. You know, he's great, but I think we could look at him and say, you could bulk up a little bit, get a little bit
you
bigger, stronger.
I mean,
there's a lot of things
tallest.
You could do now that you're in college to develop, right?
Right.
And then to hear this news on Sunday, I was like, wow. I don't know. He must. I would hope he has a plan.
I hope so, too.
Because that's a, you know, and, you know, we don't know the interpersonal things going on. I don't have the insight on that. I have no idea why he made that decision. On the outside looking in, it feels like that would have been the perfect situation for McKay Hillstead, and he would have taken over and been that team's quarterback for three more years starting in 2025. And Utah State is a really, really good Mountain West football program.
Right.
And with the 12-team playoff nowadays, there's a group of five spot. I'm just saying, like, the Aggies have shown, and they just, what, 3 years ago won a Mountain West championship. They've done it under this coaching staff. Blake Anderson's done it up there, so I don't know what's going on up there, but ultimately I think it probably just came down to competition, and Spencer Petras has won the job, and he's probably most likely 100% going to be the quarterback this fall. Utah, you've been following that, and not any big names. There were some guys that jumped in, and look, at Utah, this is going to happen because it's so hard. Utah is an elite program now, and a lot of guys are going to come in, and it's going to be a furious battle to win playing time. And the fact of the matter is there's going to be some guys that are really good that aren't. They're not going to win a spot. And a lot of guys in today's age are not going to be patient. They're going to get in the portal. Did you notice anybody that entered the portal the last day or two that really, like, you were like, oh, man, that's a bummer. I thought they were really going to take off.
No. I mean, Coley, Sydney, another inside offensive lineman, Jacob Edmonds entered the portal. There's probably one or two guys, but nothing splashed. And right. so that's the thing. I was like, one thing is like, if you can take a year, which a lot of guys don't have time like that, and literally be a part of something great, sacrifice that year. Because one, experience, you could take that wherever you go. Take that mentality, take that. That's a resume builder.
I was on that Utah team in 2024.
I was on that Utah team. Yeah. But everything I'm hearing from the McKay Hillstead situation is just like this transfer portal, this NIL stuff, nobody's patient anymore.
No.
Everybody wants it now. It's my money and I want it now. J.G. Wentworth, by the way.
J.G. Wentworth. J.G. Wentworth.com.
877-CASH-NOW.
See? He knows the phone number.
Oh, man. That jingle.
877-CASH-NOW.
It's with you forever now.
It is. It is. It sucks. I hate it. Anyway.
It's like a bad tattoo.
It really is. But, I mean, these guys aren't patient. Nobody's patient anymore. Nobody develops anymore. Nobody invests in their development. Everybody thinks, like, I need to be now. There's so many stories. So many stories. I think from first round draft picks all the way down through the rest of guys who literally fought through it, fought through that adversity, and made exactly what they wanted happen. Me being one. I was one of those stories. You know, there's so many instances within my first couple of years where I got frustrated. I'm like, man, I really feel like I should be playing. But I know my body's not ready. I was a skinny linebacker, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, yeah, I can make plays, but I'm not where I need to be calling myself the starter. So I got to keep working, no matter my frustrations, whatever that is. Allow for development to happen. These kids don't understand that at all. They just think at 18, I should be starting for the Bears.
What's changed?
I mean,
it wasn't that long ago that you were in their shoes, 15 years ago.
What's changed is just entitlement. I think it comes at it's coming more and more at a younger level than it used to be.
There you go.
Entitlement. I think it starts before college. These high schoolers, these NYFLers, these UK conference.
You got recruiting
kids
websites that are
reviewing these kids at 8 kids,
13
to
14-year-olds.
Yeah, I think the entitlement comes.
You have parents running social media accounts for 10, 11, 12-year-old athletes.
And that instant gratification they're getting on that, it's getting to their heads. And if they don't get that instant gratification because they have to struggle and that's nothing that they're used to, they bounce. And so that's for me is what's changed is the entitlement of understanding the moment. Nobody's teaching adversity. You know, everybody's got these Kobe quotes and moments going across, but nobody's listening. You're hearing, but you're not really listening.
You're right.
What did Kobe have to go through? He went through a lot. He wasn't the best basketball player. So what did he do? He practiced nonstop 5 to 6 hours a day when he was 12 years old to become the best player in the state at that moment. Then he rode that wave. Then he got to the league to the point where other people weren't playing him because they hated him because he was so young doing all this and that. Fought through all of that. Dale Harris didn't want to play him. He fought through that adversity, fighting through injury, became one of the better players, and then went down. He had off-the-field issues that affected him on the court. Got past all of that. Had some injuries. Had to go through all kinds of adversity. Everybody's listening, but nobody's really hearing those quotes, those motivational things when that's happening. And these kids, these parents, you parents out there, you need to divulge all of that into your kids, understanding it ain't sunshine and rainbows out there as an adult.
Yeah.
All your decisions that you make, they're going to come back to haunt you.
Congratulations on your weekend 7-on-7 tournament championship.
Right. I mean, I love it. It's a part of the development as far as experience goes, but that's not the end of the road. There's so much more after that.
It doesn't guarantee success later on.
No, it
does not. So, real quick, what do you think is there anything Utah needs to get in the portal?
Oh, yeah.
Right now, where do they need to go?
I mean,
what position are they looking for?
We're stacked in the skill position room as far as receivers go, tight ends go. Running backs, I actually love where we're at with running backs.
Okay.
You know, unless somebody jumps in the portal, I don't think we need to go. I think we got good depth at the running back position. Absolutely love whether that as far as the caliber of people that we have in that room, right, of what they can do. Guys that have run for multiple yards, who has the ability to give them the 20-plus carries a game, right? I like that that aspect of the offense. We're behind the quarterback. I would go backup quarterback position, right? Because if you look at it, where's all the experience in our quarterback room?
Cam Rising, and that's about it.
It's about it. Yep. Bryson Barnes hasn't taken a snap. I mean, sorry. Brandon Rose hasn't taken a snap.
Right.
Isaac Wilson hasn't taken a snap. You got Luke Batari, who you literally put in a game and only threw the ball 6 times.
Yeah.
To win a game.
I'd feel a little nervous about it. I do think highly of Isaac Wilson, and I think he could be ready faster than we think. And I'm a little biased here, I'll be honest. And this is nothing against Brandon Rose. I've just watched Isaac Wilson play a lot of high school football. We've covered his high school football career. I did not cover Brandon Rose's high school football career. I haven't seen him much up there because they don't let us watch much. Okay?
Right.
Don't blame me for that. It's not my
fault. It's not your fault.
If they said, come up here and watch practice, JJ, I'd be
up
there.
I want you guys to talk more about Brandon Rose. Well, we can't.
What do you want me to say? I haven't seen him.
We can't. Right.
All we saw was Saturday, and I thought Wilson was better.
Right.
Okay? So that's where I'm at with my mentality, but that doesn't mean Brandon Rose isn't going to be the second guy.
Right.
But you're right. He hasn't taken a snap, and he was not ready last year. And that didn't seem like it was because of injury, so that was a red flag for me.
Well, yeah. I mean, I talked to Coach Wade after the Northwestern game.
We saw how bad the quarterback play was last year, and you weren't ready?
Yeah.
That's not a good thing.
And that was frustrating on the coaching staff.
I bet.
Right? Yeah, because they always preach the next man up mentality. Be ready so you don't have to get ready. Right? And that was just a moment. You know, talking to Coach Wade after the bowl game, he's just like, when we interviewed him on a post game, he was just like, we just didn't feel like Brandon Rose was mentally ready to be in the game. And I'm just like, that makes sense. Right? I mean, as bad as we were, we couldn't put Brandon Rose in the game. Because the quarterback position, you got to have offensive line checks. You got to make sure the receivers are set. You got to make sure the running back is set. You got to be able to change plays because Coach Ludwig puts multiple plays in on the offensive play call. You got to be able to make those checks. If you're not able to do those things, they can't trust you in there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that sucks. So for me, to finish your question, backup quarterback position, whether it's a one-year guy coming in, just somebody that we can be like, okay, won't be scared of the moment, right?
Because we're going to have Cooper Legault?
Why not? He's a one-year guy. If he's okay with being a backup, which I don't understand why you wouldn't be a backup at Utah State. But
just throwing names out there.
If he wants to go to a UNLV or something else like that.
Hey, if I'm BYU, and I'll switch real quick to BYU, what does BYU need? I think they could use some more depth.
And he's
in
from
the
that
interior.
Area.
I think that BYU needs more depth on the defensive and offensive lines. I think they're pretty solid everywhere else. Maybe one more transfer portal running back. But where BYU actually needs to really – I think that they need another quarterback.
He's from Orem, Utah.
I'm not convinced that what they have right now is the answer. And, I mean, do you kick the tires on McKay this time around? You missed him the first time around. Do you want to try to bring in McKay Hillstead that's got 3 years left to play?
Why not?
Do you want to bring in a Cooper Legault who can compete for the starting job when you don't know for sure if you got guys that are going to be able to get it done? Now, I don't know where they're at, but yeah, Cooper and McKay are Utah County guys. McKay grew up in Springville. Cooper is from Orem.
Right. What else? What are we talking about? Storylines.
Yeah.
What can you get fans to get behind? A local guy that's making it happen.
2 Utah County quarterbacks come home. I don't know.
Why not?
It wouldn't surprise me if either one of those guys or both end up at BYU. Maybe they kick the tires on Utah. I don't know. But that's something to keep an eye on. But Cooper Legault, McKay Hillstead, both in the transfer portal, 2 in-state quarterbacks, 2 hometown heroes. Where will they go next? I cannot wait to find out. All right, we got to take a break here on JJ and Alex. When we come back, it's Would You Rather, little NHL version of Would You Rather coming up next on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Ready? Real life hypotheticals to get your brain churning. As JJ and Alex ask, Would You Rather?
Time for Would You Rather on JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jeremiah Jensen, Stevenson Sylvester with you today. Real quick one out of the blue. Let me throw this out there for fun. You're Utah or BYU. You got room for one transfer portal quarterback. Which one are you offering, Cooper Legar or McKay Hillstead?
McKay.
Me too. I want the younger player.
Younger player.
Developmental player, yeah.
For sure.
It's interesting, though, because I would... The only like you mentioned Utah's situation where they're not looking for the developmental guy. They've got Isaac Wilson. Perhaps maybe Utah would have serious interest in Cooper Legar as a veteran senior backup option. And would when Coop have interest in that? I have no idea.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you've seen what Bryson Barnes had to go through this past year, you're saying that Cooper Legar can do better than what Bryson Barnes
100%
did.
100%, yes.
This is. Are you sure? I don't know. This is a complicated offense. This is not to where, I mean.
Which would explain the struggles of the quarterbacks.
Exactly.
That
we know Bryson Barnes.
He was ugly.
He can throw the ball. But his inconsistency, and we've seen a lot of inconsistency with Cooper Legar.
That's fair.
I don't know if I like that move as a one-year guy. That's literally, you're interchanging the same guy or worse for me.
Interesting. So, yeah, it makes sense. Hillstead's the longer play.
Yeah, BYU, I would go after McKay.
You'd do the same with McKay at BYU.
Oh, yeah.
You wouldn't go because Coop could compete with those other two guys.
At BYU?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But,
so
I mean.
Maybe, you know, playing the situation out of my head, yeah, I think I would say McKay as well. No offense to Coop. He's just a senior.
No, yeah.
And
he is what he is
right now.
That's the only reason.
McKay's young and.
He can redshirt.
Feels like he's got the higher ceiling and he could redshirt and has time. Pretty easy, would you rather there.
And I love the way he commanded the Sky Ridge offense.
Oh, man.
And even his splash here at Utah State, I think he did well with his time.
Yeah.
But he's a guy that I would invest in. Give him some time. Get next to Coach Roderick.
Got to get stronger.
Stronger.
He took some brutal hits last year, which ended the season early.
Right.
He's just got to be able to take on those blows. You got to be able to have a little bit more meat on your bones.
But I think that he could be a Jaren Hall.
Sure. Why not?
Why not? I think that he could be that type of quarterback for BYU. He could deliver the football.
Mm.
If he understands those type of things, and that's all BYU needed, was a competent quarterback who can consistently make things happen, make the right plays. McKay Hillstead does things with his feet. If I was BYU, that's where I would invest.
McKay Hillstead at BYU.
That makes sense.
That would be interesting. I'll have to run that one by Mitch. I'd like to get his reaction to that because they have no plans to go out and get a transfer portal quarterback. But now that some guys are in, they might go shopping.
But that's my thing too, right? It's late now. You don't have the spring to work with a new guy from outside, right? So if I'm going to go into a developmental thing where I'm getting somebody in the portal, go McKay Hillstead, a local guy in the area. You could bring fans more to the stadium. Simply because of him by himself, you could use him a lot of marketability. He's great, and he has time to develop in your system.
Maybe they feel they've already got that guy with the same class in college with Ryder Burton.
Why not?
And then they just brought in Noah Lugo, who feels like they're really high on him. Who's a true freshman.
What have we always said about competition?
There you go.
Brings out the best in all of us. Who could be the cream that rises to the top? Who's the best Utah local quarterback?
That's true. If you want to be the best at BYU Utah and you're in-state kid, you're going to have competition.
I mean, this is something where you can dangle in front of these kids. The NIL opportunities is great locally here.
Uh-huh.
Ryder, McKay, you guys own this area.
If you become the starting quarterback at BYU and you're a high school kid and you're from Utah County, oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah, it would be great. But are you going
to
play?
We saw it with Jaren Hall. Jaren Hall was able to start at the early time of NIL.
Right.
Jaren Hall was able to capitalize on that and did a really good job with it. And you can see the power that you have. And you get some dynamic personality or somebody that's doing, like, you know, crazy stuff, like really, really impressive play, then it could be the sky's the limit. So the opportunities are certainly there. So,
yeah,
that was fun. Let's do an NHL one real quick. Should the NHL expand the playoffs or keep them status quo? Right now they have a 1-8. There's no play-in situation in the NHL. And we saw some crazy hockey last night. The Detroit Red Wings fighting for their playoff lives the last two nights has been must-see TV. Should a play-in model be instituted by the NHL? Gary Bettman said his league has no interest. What does Stevens and Sylvester think? I'm dying to know.
I agree with Bettman, but I also didn't like the NBA play-in. And now I absolutely love it. I didn't like it before the first time it was played, but after it was first played, I was like, oh, I get it. I get it. And so it's great. This football model to the end of the playoffs, fighting for those last two spots, especially how close the last, you know, 6 through 10 was, or 7 through 10 was, 6 through 10 in the Western Conference was. And everybody's like, okay, I still have an opportunity if we go to the play-in, but it's sudden death. I loved what it did for the NBA. So the fact that, you know, I wasn't initially a fan of it until I saw it, there's that. And that may be the same thing with NHL.
All the pro sports leagues here in the United States, including Major League Soccer, have expanded their playoffs or created a play-in type situation. Even Major League Baseball has the wild card now, and that has been a massively popular and entertaining addition.
Because it's great.
To the MLB postseason, because the stakes are so high.
Well, I mean, it's football, right? Football, yeah. I've always been a part of sudden death.
Which is
football.
Why football is king.
It's football is king.
Because every game is so massive.
Exactly.
That's what we love to watch, is everything on the line, all the chips pushed into the middle. That's why we want to tune in. So I've talked myself into this. The NHL needs to have a play-in game.
Let's do it.
A similar thing to the NBA.
I'd love a play-in game here in Salt Lake City.
Can you imagine a one-off
with the
NHL?
Utah snowman.
You know it's going to be the Yeti. There's just no...
Slashers or snowmen. Come on, people.
Slashers or snowmen. Murder in the Snow. Sounds like a great movie, Sly, but I'm not sure about an NHL mascot.
Hey, we haven't had good scary movies lately, so, well, you know, this could be...
We haven't had good movies, period. That's a topic for another day, because we got to get in.
Nothing like the 90s.
You're coming in here in the summertime, and we're gonna do some movie stuff. Because
late June is kind of hard in sports.
Yeah, we'll have some time. We'll have some time. We'll have to discuss that one. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, the Utah Jazz season is over, and we finally get to see and hear some end of season Utah Jazz player interviews. You'll hear from Walker Kessler, Keontae George, and Lauri Markkanen, as well as head coach Will Hardy, next, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.